Which are your headphones?
Sorry. What's that one there? Oh, that's me.
Yeah,
oh, much better.
Yeah, cool.
Much better. So I do Breakfast Radio 3W.
I heard you this morning. That was a great topic. You were doing, what can you remember your last
what
doing?
What do you forget almost immediately?
Because I've dropped off my 3AW listing because I haven't been driving the kids to school.
For people around the country, around the world, it's 3AW is the talk station.
AM station. It's the number one station in Melbourne.
With Ross Stevenson and John Burns. And I do like a 10-minute segment on a Tuesday where I just bring stuff from my life.
You're like Melbourne's Ellen Jones. You just get on there, rant, rave.
I bang the table. You know, I'm very controversial.
Yeah.
Highly opinionated. Anyway, so we do the segment.
Yeah,
and
segment
then we go downstairs and have coffee because they finish at 8:30. And today we never know what to eat. So today one of the guys brought some some tomato chutney, relish.
Oh, yum.
He ordered toast and then he
put that on.
Put it on himself.
Was it nice?
I didn't have any. I thought that's a great idea.
Bringing your own relish.
Bringing your own relish.
Bringing your own condiment.
Bring your own condiment. That's a great idea for a restaurant. So we have breakfast, blah, blah, blah. I leave. I go into my car and I'm reading our emails, blah, 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 blah. And I think to myself, I need to go to the toilet.
Oh, no. Did you have a relish jar? I don't see how these two things are connected.
Please don't think the wrong thing, okay?
So you go wee in the car. It's terrible. I had to use a public toilet yesterday. I was so desperate.
So I walk back through the cafe.
Oh, that's always. I was just here.
Yeah, just it's okay. Here. It's just me. It's me.
Yeah.
And the woman goes, oh, by the way, your friend left this. And she brought out the chutney.
Oh. Right?
And then she said to me, are you going to the toilet? And I said, yes. She said, don't take it in there. I said, because it's not a good look. Coming out of the toilet with a jar full of brown liquid.
The sample's ready.
And I agree, it's not a good look.
It's not a good look. I've probably held your drink. I've held people's drinks when they've gone to go to the toilet. I said, I'll hold your stuff. Just go.
Yeah, because coming in, yeah, it's not a good look. So then
it's
I go.
It's like an airport. I have a packet of chips and I want to go to the toilet. I'm like, oh, what am I going to do?
What, one and the other, both enjoyable.
Or an apple. Like,
so I get into the toilet and then I decide I don't want to go because I don't want her thinking that I am going.
Number twos.
Yeah, I don't want the woman out there thinking that's what I'm.
You're not holding on, are you?
Well, not really, but a bit.
Yeah.
So then I leave rather quickly, and I get the jar, and I go upstairs, and they go, wow, you're great, but hang on, why
are you back?
Why have you been hanging around for so long? And I'm going, oh, now I've got to tell the whole story. So I tell the story.
But then they know you're going to do.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's like a number two problem.
Too much information.
Yeah.
So then I tell them, and then two of the girls go, you are a great bloke. And the guy that I did it for, he goes, you're a good bloke, and he puts in a but.
But?
And he meant it nicely.
Mm.
No, he didn't mean it nicely. He meant it. He was just making a minor point. He's saying, you're a good bloke, but you really didn't go out of your way because you were going to the toilet anyway and you just happened to have seen it. The fact that I got on the elevator makes me a good bloke. But did you
end up going to the toilet?
No, I didn't.
So you're still holding on?
Yeah, because then I looked at the clock and I was late to get here.
Oh, no. No, because I text you. That's my fault.
So was I a good bloke?
Yes. Well, no, not a good bloke. You were you're concerned about what she thought of you.
I was more concerned about what people think about me than being a good bloke. I was more concerned about her, and I was also concerned about them thinking that I took it to the toilet.
Yeah.
And also, then the whole idea of it came up that you just don't want to think about it.
Yeah.
But there's common good blokeness or good. What do you call it? What do you say? Good girlness?
Good lady.
Good ladiness. Because it's a common line. You go, well, you would do that. Which when you go above and beyond the call of duty.
Look, going to the toilet, number twos, especially for men, people have a bit of a stigma or problems with it. Or you just don't want your thing to affect anyone else. So
no.
When I used to work on a radio with Husey, every morning he would wander off with a newspaper and use a disabled toilet, right? Because he didn't want to. There was no disabled people on our floor. That was his thing, right?
Yeah.
And And he didn't want to go in there and do his stuff and then have other people go, whoa, who's that? Oh, that smell. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
But unfortunately, the cleaner used to have his little office in the disabled toilet.
His office?
Well, like his supplies cupboard and stuff. So sometimes he'd come
walk in and Husey would be having a moment.
He wouldn't walk in. He'd be waiting by the door and Husey would open the door after, you know, destroying the toilet. And the little Italian bloke would be standing there. Sorry, have to get my supplies.
I don't want to bring the tone of this podcast down, but...
I can't do that at someone else's house, by the way. There's a great book. I can't remember. And he gets in the car. It's a true story. And he goes to the cab driver. Oh, I need to go to the airport. And the cab driver goes, yeah, but I have to go to the toilet. I'm desperate. And he goes, well, there's a toilet over here. And the cab driver goes, no, must go familiar place.
Yeah, it's true.
He goes, must go familiar place. So he had to drive out of the way to go to a toilet that he was happy with.
Have I told you the crouton story?
Yeah.
Have I told it on this? On
no.
Here? I'll just tell it very quickly. It was when my brother had a girlfriend and then two families met for the first time. They brought round savories and one was a biscuit with a bit of fish on it with a crouton on top. Mm. And I put it in my mouth and went, I don't like this. So I went to the toilet and spat it out. And I flushed it away. It just so happened that her mother and her daughter were both nurses. The daughter goes to the toilet and then whispers to her mother, she comes out and announces to the room, Glenn, are you all right? And I say, yeah, why? Because we noticed you had a strange movement in the toilet.
And in double embarrassment, I spat your food into the toilet.
And then I had to explain that I didn't like your food and spat it out. Yeah, correct. Yeah. But what they saw was, because you put a crouton in a toilet, it won't flush away. No. Remember that.
Okay, it's a good tip.
So what she's seen is a crouton in the toilet, which infers I've got a square ass.
Square anus.
How could I produce something in a cube form?
That's very true, like some sort of manufacturing trick.
Don't wombat, was it wombats?
Wombats do that.
We've talked about it on this podcast before.
Wow.
Anyway, so we've taken it way off track. Well, I was just going to say, here comes music.
Yeah.
Just before we say that, if you are having trouble... If you haven't got enough fibre in your diet, use the disabled toilets because the handles come in a little bit handy. When you get some purchase.
You should never force it, but sometimes it happens. Oh, we need to have the music.
Save us.
Oh,
please, save us.
Hello and welcome to somehow related. Now, please welcome your hosts, Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
Welcome to the podcast. Somehow related.
About the tone of our pre-chat. It's true.
Your kids could have listened to that. Kids are obsessed by the toilet. Yeah. Sorry about that. Two topics, and we've got to work out how they're related. Well, let's just get into it. Let's get the topics.
Yep, please.
Swiss cats and loneliness.
Swiss. So she's been a bit very specific there, saying Swiss cats.
And we've got to thank a listener sent this in, Mitchko sent these in. So thanks, Mitchko.
So what do they do? Do they ring up someone?
Normally it's via Facebook. They send a message via Facebook.
Oh, you haven't looked at it?
And also, no, I haven't looked at it. And sometimes when they join the Facebook group, and please join if you're on Facebook. It's a lot. Glenn's not on there. I'm on there. Glenn's not on social media, but he's like he's like the uni bomber. He just sits at home with his manifesto on a typewriter.
We've got some things, some cutouts on the walls.
You got a few ideas. Yeah. Anyway. And sometimes when people join, Courtney, who designed the form, they ask for any somehow related topics and they come up. People will say, what about this and this? Yeah. So this one, Michiko, since
I'm in. I have no idea what this is.
Swiss cats. Well, as we know.
Are Swiss cats like any cats?
I have a twin brother who lives in Switzerland. Oh, I should ring him. You know what? Before the end of this episode, I'm going to ring him.
Why ring him to see if, because he would know the answer.
He's lived in Switzerland a long time, over 20 years, off and on. So, and I remember his wife had a cat. His wife's family had a cat in Lugano, which is down the bottom of Switzerland. That cat used to hide under the wardrobe. It wasn't a very social cat. Maybe that's it. All right, solved.
Well,
let's just talk about cats, because you like.
I was a cat man. I had Tordy for 19 years. And we were only talking about Tordy in the supermarket the other day, and we shed a little tear because we used to buy Tordy her own deli meat.
What meat did you buy it?
The sliced chicken. She liked.
She liked the sliced chicken. Yeah, I used to buy fresh meat for. I've got a cat, Amelie, who's older than.
You've got a cat now.
I've got a black cat called Amelie, and she's older than the kids. So she's 17.
Wow. Right?
Yeah. And before that, I had Schnoodle for a long time, who lived in a shared house with us.
And you cried when she died.
Oh, I cried. Absolutely. I still remember where I was. I was at Fox Studios.
Yeah.
Sydney, recording Headliners, a show that you created with Marty Shergold.
Correct.
It's an old Foxtel show, which was like a stand-up show where I was hosting. And anyway, the vet rang me up and said, Schnoodle, the cat's just died on the table. And he said, interesting, the cat let out a cry. He said, they often let out a death rattle before they die. So we had her cremated. I remember we went to pick up the ashes and we sat in the park. We sat in the park near the vets and had some food and just bawled our eyes out.
That's a good thing.
Yeah.
And to release like that is good, to let you to grieve.
Getting teary now that I think about it. But I saw a photo the other day of when I was at your house. I saw a photo of you and Tordy and Selena, and he was a cute cat. I met Tordy once.
Yeah, it was Tortoiseshell. That's why we call him Tordy.
And he would come up behind the couch and go, he had a very distinct meow.
Did he?
He'd be one of those meows.
Well, we have a person that we work with, Nick Murray, who doesn't like cats.
Doesn't like cats? Who doesn't like cats?
Who doesn't like cats? Anyway, Nick Murray was in my house, sitting. Tordy, who was so affectionate to everyone, ran down the hallway, jumped on the back of the couch, ran up, kicked him in the back of the head, kicked Nick in the back of the head, and then ran off.
I like it.
Just,
I like Tordy's action. But with Schnoodle, Schnoodle got diabetes, so I had to inject it.
Oh, you're a good man.
Twice a day with insulin.
Twice a day.
I had to go to, I was living in Footscray in the western suburbs of Melbourne. I had to buy syringes from a chemist in Footscray, which is used to be very well known for drugs, Footscray area. So I would be lining up with the junkies.
Great thing for a sitcom that you got the cat in the car, you're going somewhere, and you had to go into a public toilet and shoot.
Yeah,
and
shoot up.
The cops get you. I was shooting up my cat. Yeah, right, mate. Yeah. Where is your cat? I was ran off now.
No, they've done the stakeout at the chemist. They've seen me buying syringes. They've seen me coming out. Oh, look at this guy. He's fat for a junkie, but anyway, let's get him. So, yeah, we both love cats. Cats are good. I mean, I like dogs. I've never had a dog, but I do love a cat.
Yeah, because, you know, you look at a cat and you go, that's the life I want to live. I want to sit in the sun. I want to have a little shower, a little bath every now and then. Lick yourself, have something to eat, go to sleep.
Sit on someone's lap.
When they lie back in the sun like that, you go, it looks so good.
Oh, when it gets, even those really hot days, Amelie goes outside and lies there because Kieran, my partner, thinks it warms her bones. It's just like, because he has arthritis now, a bit of arthritis.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Tordy, I learned, if you've got a cat now, try this and it'll work. To say hello to a cat, you look them in the eyes and you slowly blink.
Oh. Well, you know cats don't meow at each other. Meowing is only for humans, apparently. They hiss at other cats. They're not...
So meow is saying hello to us.
Yeah, meow is a way to communicate with, and I want food, I need my tray, for example. Because our cat has different meows for different things. So when it wants its meow, when it wants its litter tray, which is often outside, it'll go, meow.
Litter tray.
And food is a different meow too, a little bit different. We're basically cat whisperers. But maybe this is the connection because cats they're not pack animals, they're solitude animals.
Well,
aren't they?
Tordy was like a fighter. She was when I went to get her, I got it from the Burmese Protection Society, and they had a whole pile in one room, and then Tordy was by himself or herself in another room, like in what do you call that?
Solitary confinement.
Solitary, yeah. You're in the hole for a week for beating up the other cats. Where does he sleep?
Amelie,
on top of the covers, under the covers?
No. Amelie sleeps in the lounge room away from us. Schnoodle, because we didn't have any kids, Schnoodle used to sleep on the bed and would not even get off when there was intimate relations happening. She would stay hanging on to the bed, looking you in the eye. It's very disturbing.
Wow. When it was real, all happening.
But sometimes you'd wake up and Schnoodle's head would be on the pillow next to you.
Doesn't someone do a routine about that when dogs watch you and they go, I made up, you copied me in the style you're using now or something?
Yes, I don't know who does that. It's a good routine. But cat, we don't want the cat on the bed. The cat goes on the kids' beds.
Yeah.
But the problem is it wakes up at 4 a.m. meowing for food. So I have to get up and feed it. So I try and lock it in the section of the house where it's got its food and its tray and...
When you get up in the middle of the night and you get up naked, does the cat give a little double take on a certain part of your body?
No, I always have pajamas on. They'd bring that thing near me.
Because it would be, in both of our cases, it would be quite intimidating, I would imagine, for a cat to
speak for yourself.
Well,
I don't know about
nine lives. They've got nine lives.
Yeah, nine lives. Yeah.
Besides that, I think we all know that that's all the cat. They're nearsighted. They're not great with long distance, but they're very good. You know something else about cats? They can climb up a tree, but they can't climb down. They can't go.
Oh, I've heard that.
Before. They have to back down a tree because their claws go one way.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So they can't go front down. So if you're attacked by a tiger or a lion and they're both up a tree, you can probably get down quicker because they would have to back down.
Wait, that's a good tip for good anyone tip. Out there on the savannah.
Yeah. Ever saved a cat up a tree?
No.
I don't think I've seen it in
movies.
A tortoise used to get caught in the top cupboard.
Yeah.
And then you just go, and you just put your hands out, and she would just gently lean forward.
Oh, yeah.
Carry
it down. Yeah, yeah. I've got cats off top of things before. Loneliness. Well, Swiss cats, I don't know. Loneliness, how do you feel about loneliness? Are you lonely now?
Are you lonely now?
Are you?
Well, I think.
I just think of the point. I think of the Benny Hill sketch, which I tried to find the other day, and I couldn't find it, where he must have done it several times. He'd be going, I'm so alone in this world. And then he'd move in front of a mirror and the whole crew would be behind him on a makeup. And he'd go, get out of the way. And I still to this day say to my partner and kids, I'm so alone in this world.
Well, look.
Do you feel loneliness?
I was talking to a psychologist. Hey,
difference between being lonely and alone. Someone said that to me once.
That's quite powerful.
So, name my next book.
I was speaking to a psychologist. I have both.
One of them.
One of many people that helped me. And she was saying that that is probably the number one, the number of people that fill out the form to, you know, who, because you have to, when you fill out the form to the doctor, who's your nearest of kin, so many people don't put down, I don't have one. A person to call.
Oh, really? They don't have anyone?
No one to call.
Wow.
That's really sad, isn't
it? Sad.
I mean, the amount of loneliness in big cities where you go, hang on, there's someone next door.
And I don't even know them.
I don't know them.
No, no.
You know.
It's sad, but, you know, it's funny, isn't it? Because someone was asking me about, like, driving to Albury or Wagga to do a gig by myself. Do you find that lonely? And I'm going,
no.
I said, I've got three kids. No. I reckon I would have used to have found it lonely. Now I just like the peace and quiet.
It's a bit of you. There's nothing wrong with a bit of you time. You know why it's good time? Because you know it's not endless. You know, but if you're having a bit of you quiet time, well, a bit of lonely time, it doesn't end.
I find sometimes sitting at home and then I'll go and talk to, like, Albert, the guy in the local shop or the...
You just need to touch base somewhere.
It makes you feel better, doesn't it?
Yeah, because that's when things bounce around your head, that's when they become irrational. Because you start to believe your own stupid thoughts because that no one's judging them. And then when things come out your mouth, you kind of go, that's pretty stupid why I'm thinking that. And then you don't think it anymore. But in your head, you think it all the time anyway. It's all in my book that I'm going to write about, you know, living.
Loneliness or alone.
But
you spend a fair bit of time alone?
I spend too much time alone because my partner works quite long hours. And as you know, I'm incredibly lazy and don't work that hard. I do a radio segment for 5 minutes a day and I come and do a podcast.
You do the podcast.
And I go to the gym.
But you've become friends with Tony at the gym, who's a regular listener.
Yeah. Oh, hello, Tony. Yeah, Tony's good. We go at the same time. We'd chat about the world.
Well, I go to my Pilates and I talk to the mums of Fairfield. It's good.
The mums?
Mainly mums, yeah.
That's creepy.
I don't go into the class. I just stand in the window looking in.
Yeah, that's all right.
And my favourite joke, when I don't know any of the mums, I walk in and I pretend I'm the instructor. All right, ladies, we're going to start now. They look on their faces like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
But loneliness is interesting, isn't it? Because I always say, and it reminds you, we're going to ring my twin brother in a minute. I'm a twin. So when I was growing up, I was never alone.
That's interesting. They say when you have the kids young, you almost don't. It's like you got a cat, get another one because they keep each other company.
Because we had our own language and stuff when we were really little. And Mum took us to the doctor. The doctor said, that's fantastic. I love they've got their own language. And Mum's like, oh, I thought they were like special or something. Like, she was going to enroll us in a special school.
Yeah, but I think you are special.
Yeah, I am special.
Well, I'll be interested to hear how he sounds. You do an impression of him.
Yes, Glenn. Sounds like this. Yes.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be interesting to hear whether I can hear something in the voice which I can hear a bit of you.
In my voice, yes.
But do you think that people are some loneliness is alleviated by Facebook and technology?
No, or I think it definitely helps. It helps with parents who are at home, but particularly the young mums and stuff. This is this whole we've talked about it before on the podcast, but it does help people keep connected because motherhood and that is quite isolated these days. It's not in the old days. Mum tells us that when she was a young mother, they would have a morning tea in the court at a different woman's house every day because none of them had cars.
Mm.
And so this was the 60s and the 70s. So they had a great social network. Well, that's not happening as much these days, Glenn. So
no.
Loneliness, and imagine being at home with a baby by yourself. It's bloody hard yards.
Well, I wouldn't know. But
you wouldn't know?
No.
You, you had a cat, though. But your stepdaughter's just got a baby, so
I'm learning all over. I'm learning to what it's all. But then you're just handed back. So have we said enough about? We don't want to go on about loneliness. And if you are lonely, this by all means,
podcast.
Get out.
I find podcasts good to listen to.
Very comforting. Great. Because I would imagine I don't want to say most, but this one in particular, you do feel like you're part of a conversation.
Yeah.
I had someone say to the other day that they actually wanted to ring up and suggest things within our conversation. And there's no way we can really do that.
We can't do that.
We can't do that. But you know, maybe in reflection. Anyway,
well, I'm gonna get my. I don't know what time it is in Switzerland. I think it's late, but I'm.
Let's ring him. Can we do it?
Yeah, I can plug in my phone to this desk. I can do that. But let's have some thinking music and I'll do it during that.
So what would we have? Felix the Cat, the theme song. What Whiskers ad.
Yep.
You know, there was a sketch on Saturday Night Live called Tenses the Cat. The cat that could drive
funny.
A car. Don't know if you've seen it, but it's basically the same episode every week. They decide that they're going to let the cat drive the car. Then they drive over a cliff and they all die.
Yeah.
And it had a great jingle. And let's play it here.
Tenses, the driving cat, the cat who could drive a car. He drives around all over the town. Tenses, the driving cat.
Tenses, the cat who could drive a car.
Don't just look out!
No, that's very funny, isn't it?
There's a few episodes on YouTube if you want to watch them, but you got to see the cat. It's a puppet, obviously, but the cat driving the car.
Funny.
And then when they go over the cliff, the cat does that wide mouth thing.
Now, do you want to have a crack before I bring my brother, or do you want to have a crack at it? Or
yes, okay. So do you reckon he's going to give us the answer?
I reckon he'll know.
You reckon he'll know. I'm going to say that if you have a cat in Switzerland, you get a discount off your medical insurance because you get some for your mental health.
Oh, okay.
Because if you have a pet, it is much better for you than not having
it. Of course it is.
So I'm going to say, if you've got a cat, you've got to prove that you've got a cat. You've got to send a photograph of it and you've got to say what the cat's name is.
All right.
And you get a discount off your insurance.
Well, that's I'm not even going to have a guess.
I can't have a go.
No, I can't think. I'm going to ring my brother. He's going to guess
so
for me.
Oh, so it's going to be your guess will be, because he might not be right.
Yeah, he might not be right.
Okay, let's get him on the line.
Let's ring him up. It's ringing.
What country is it again?
Switzerland. That's a European ring.
We hello.
Glenn. See, I told my twin brother's Swiss. It's your twin David here. How are you?
Good, yeah. How are you?
Yeah,
and Glenn, we've never met, but I feel like we have, obviously, because I know your brother well, and I guess, you know, given that we have the same name, there's a hell of a connection going on here.
Exactly, and I think we're two ends, so.
Yes.
You're both two ends.
Yeah, it's Glenn. Now,
because I talk about you a bit on the podcast, people are always intrigued. How long have you been in Switzerland?
Now it's about nearly 20 years, I think I've been here.
Yeah,
For tax reasons, but don't tell the listeners that.
And we've all read Dave's books. Are they true, the stories that he tells about what you boys got up to?
The surprising thing is that they're 99% true.
So he really made a bomb. Did you? you were there when the bomb went off? Were you?
He was there.
I was there actually. Yeah. Actually, I think in the book he sort of. I'm not in the story, but I was actually there.
He was there. And now, ironically, he works for organisations where bombs have gone off near you. Is that right?
Yeah, well, yeah. When I worked overseas, like for the Red Cross and others, yeah.
You would have heard bombs. How close was the closest bomb to you? Kilometer. A kilometer.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, sure. Yeah, a kilometer. Yeah, I'd say about a kilometer.
Yeah.
Wow.
Sometimes hard to tell, but like.
Yeah. But you heard explosions.
In places. I heard places like when I was in Sarajevo in Bosnia during the war when I was working there. Yeah, sometimes it was quite close. Sometimes you'd be thinking, well, I wonder how far away is that?
Well, it's interesting because Dave's done gigs and he's bombed.
Yeah. You can hear them from Sarajevo.
Different sort of bombing.
I don't bomb that much anymore. But
no, I didn't. Did it because it was on topic.
No, I know. One creeps up on you, though, and you're like, oh, no, I'm back here again.
Yeah.
Hey, so we've rung you, and I know it's late.
We do a podcast. Do you know that we do a podcast?
They've got podcasts in Switzerland, yeah?
They have. Yeah, they've just reached it, I think.
Yeah. And so we've got these two topics. We've got to work out how they're related. And the topics are Swiss cats and loneliness. So what can you tell us about... Have you got a cat or you got a dog, haven't you?
I've got a dog, yeah. Yeah, I don't have a cat. But what's interesting in Switzerland is that I think the connection is that in Switzerland they have quite strict laws about animal welfare.
Yeah.
When it comes to cats, similar to dogs, you can keep a cat, you can keep a dog, but a cat, for example, and I think this is the thing, that they're concerned not about the human's loneliness, but they're concerned about the animal's loneliness.
That's good.
Because it says in the law that a cat has to have daily contact with a human or have visual contact with a member of its species.
That's a good law.
So it's got to look out a window. See another cat.
So exactly, it's okay. Your cat can sit out and look out the window. It doesn't have to see a human, but if it sees another cat, then it's fine.
Is that enforced?
I haven't seen. Yeah, good question.
Is no one patrolling Switzerland?
The police come to the knock to the door and say, "We hear that your cat hasn't been meeting eyes with anyone of late. We're locking you up."
Well, that must be the connection. Switzerland's got a few weird laws, though, because I've been to your house. You've got a bunker, and is that right? Every house has to have one, or?
Yeah, that's right. Every house has to have a bomb shelter or a bunker.
Wow.
And at our house, actually, we're 5 townhouses, and so we have it for the other 4 townhouses.
Oh, you have the
bunker? Of course, we're not going to let them in.
No. Yeah. Lock it up.
And what else? Go on.
So I was going to say, you can use it as a storage place, whatever. But that's the rule. Yeah, that's the rule.
Does anyone come and inspect the bunker? Does anyone?
They do. They do. You have to have a portable toilet. You have to have portable beds. And you're not allowed to stick anything on the wall. I haven't had an inspection for a while. And you have like a system to purify the air, for example.
Ah, okay. And does everyone have to have a gun? Is that another Swiss law?
Every male of military law, unless they're exempt from military, normally has a gun at home. Like when I arrived in Switzerland, I was too old for the military, but my son, whose oldest son is 22, he has a gun. It's downstairs. It's like a semi-automatic rifle.
Well, Glenn, when we were there, and my kids, Dante, Glenn's son, showed it off to us, showed us his gun.
Gee,
pretty big moment for the boys in my family.
You've got to keep you can't walk around with a gun, surely.
You'd be surprised. I mean, you don't have the bullets, but sometimes you see like young guys walking around the neighborhood carrying a machine gun on their way to shoot it. So you got to shoot it. You got to shoot it twice a year. Also, fine.
Bloody got to go down and shoot the gun again.
One thing I was suggesting was, I'm sure in Switzerland they eat cats, and I've said this before, and people have attacked me, but I remember reading it in some province.
In fact, it's true. It's legal to eat cats and dogs actually in Switzerland still.
But do people do it?
The big outcry. people do it, yeah, but people do it, but they don't tell you, you know, they don't invite you over for but the people still, apparently in some areas, they still do it.
Friday night's cat night.
Friday night, yeah.
Why is it? Is it born out of poverty or is it born out of taste? Or why are they eating a cat? I wonder.
I think it was born out of poverty, but apparently, like where my wife is from, they eat rabbits, and apparently a cat is like a rabbit.
Yeah, well, your wife's from Ticino. I've been there. That's the Swiss Italian part.
The Italian part.
And you do. I mean, when I have rung you up, you've been eating guinea fowl. You've been eating goat, but I have never. Yeah. You've never been eating cat or dog.
No, not yet. Not yet.
Not that he's told you.
Donkey also we had once.
He had what?
Donkey.
You ate a donkey.
Yeah, they had donkey. I didn't eat it actually, but I saw it.
Do you go to a butcher shop and at the end they have donkey in a tray?
The French eat horses. The French have got special butcher shops for horses, haven't they? They got there.
Also here, they have horses is also you can buy horse meat too. That's true, yeah.
Well, we've learned a lot about Switzerland, Glenn, haven't we?
And look, you don't want to be a cat because no one meets eyes with you and people walk around with guns and eat you. So, you know, it's not a great plight for the old pussy cat.
Maybe the other thing is that, like, in Switzerland, you know, certain animals also, you have to have them in pairs.
Oh, okay.
Like guinea pigs and parrots, you have to have two of them. You're not allowed to have one of them. Once again, for the social life of the animal.
Yes.
But hamsters are solitary creatures, so you can only have one of those, for example.
God, they love a law, don't they, Switzerland? They love a law. Yeah, correct me if I'm wrong, but I remember driving along with you, and when you're going over, something comes over on your radio telling you to slow down. Is that right? When you're, some kind of speed limit thing? Am I imagining that?
Yeah. No, you can have that, and they'll give you, they'll interrupt your radio, your music to give you a traffic warning and stuff like that. Yeah, they do that.
Yeah.
It's sort of funny the first time you hear it, yeah.
Yeah, I remember hearing it. I mean, we do have a little bit of that in the tunnels here. They will interrupt your radio and tell you that something's broken down, but that's the only time you ever get that.
Won't be long before we get... I think it's a good thing. You just ran over a cat. That would be good.
Dinner's ready. Hey, well, thanks, Glenn.
Thanks, Glenn.
Where are you off to next? Because, you know, Glenn is an international traveller. Where have you just been? Where have you just been? Philippines, was it?
I was in the Philippines. Now, next, I've got to go to Morocco and then Tajikistan and then Maldives, but for work. So it's all, you know.
Sure. It's not a Kentucky tour. Where in Morocco are you going?
Rabat.
The capital. Yeah, right. I've never been there. I've been to bits of Morocco, but I've never been there.
Gee.
Yeah.
Should write a book.
Yeah,
you should. I'm looking forward to Tajikistan. I haven't been there, so.
Yeah, that's Central Asia, isn't it?
Yeah, above Afghanistan, sort of.
Oh, you're a traveling man.
Dushanbe is the capital, I think.
Oh, God.
It's a lot like Geelong, apparently.
Remember Geelong? All right, Glenn, well, thanks for
Slightly safer.
And say farewell in French to the French listeners. We've got a few.
Say what?
Farewell to the French listeners. We've got a few French-speaking people listening, for sure.
All right. Bonjour. Tout le monde. How's that?
Yeah, pretty good. Nice.
That sounds good.
All right. Bonjour.
Au revoir. Oui, bonjour. Tout le monde. Je vous souhaite une bonne écoute.
Would you like some more cat? Yeah. Yeah. Or how about some donkey on a stick?
There we go. Vous aimez plus le chat ou chien?
Chat
ou chien, cat or dog. Right.
Thanks, Clint. Thanks,
Clint. Donkey, I don't know what donkey is in French, actually.
Donkey.
But anyway,
Eeyore. I don't
think about that.
I don't know.
All right.
We'll speak to you again. Thanks for that.
Thanks for the answer.
Bye.
All right. Bye. Enjoy your sleep.
Bye, Glenn. Bye.
See you, Glenn.
Bye. Cheers. Bye. Bye.
Oh, there you go, my brother.
He nailed it.
Well, I reckon that's the answer. I reckon the cat needs to have some sort of visual, whatever he said. Sam, what is the answer?
Solo cats in Switzerland must have contact with their owner or other cats every day to prevent them from getting lonely. Swiss animal protection laws specified that if there is only one cat in a household and they cannot be kept indoors all the time and must have access to outdoor space. The law stipulates that animals recognized as social must have a certain level of contact with other such animals.
Glenn was right.
You have been listening to Somehow Related with Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
I don't know whether we can count that as a win to you. But it was very interesting hearing about his life.
Look, when we do washing machines, we're going to ring your brother.
Okay? Did we? Oh, that's a good idea.
Your brother's a washing machine mechanic.
And my other brother runs an Airbnb at his house in I won't say where.
Walla Should Walla.
In,
somewhere.
Maybe. And they just got flooded out in the Sydney rain. Yeah,
the rain, incredible in Sydney.
Yeah, this is coming on a couple of weeks after. We're a bit ahead. Yeah, so your brother, he sounds like he's happy.
Yeah, he
sounds like he's doing. What does he do again?
Look, it's very hard to explain what I do. I go, we'll just have a crack.
Is he with the Red Cross?
He works as a consultant for different organisations now. So he works for Charity? WaterAid. I work for the good guys and the bad guys. So he also does stuff for.
But what is he looking in? What is he he
assesses programs in the third world. So aid programs.
Wow.
So say he goes to the Congo with WaterAid to put a new water.
Yeah.
Supply thing in, he will go and walk around with a clipboard. And as my son goes, surely it'd be a computer. And my brother goes, no, computers get stolen. It's a clipboard.
Wow.
So he walks around with a clipboard. He talks to the people running the thing. He talks to the locals. He talks to the government. He talks to the charity who's running it. And then writes a report and says, here is my assessment of the program.
He's a good man.
So that'd be like you, me and you could do it with like comedy shows or comedy nights. So they'd send me and you along to a comedy night. We'd walk in with a clipboard and go, there's a
audience
dance floor.
Too far away. PA system's not great. You've got poker machines in the background. What's that pool table doing there? Oh, they're announcing the counter meals.
Yeah, no, we're giving them 4 out of 10. Yeah. That's a terrible report.
Yeah.
So that's what he does.
So in comparison, who's the favourite son?
Yeah, who's the winner?
Who's the winner? Well, you know what? You're doing something just as good because you know why? Because you're making people laugh.
Well, exactly. And they did an article on him in the Good Weekend magazine.
On your brother?
Out. Yeah, in the Agent. Years ago, I've still got it. And they used me as the punchline. So they've got a photo of him sitting with Somali warlords in his Red Cross uniform. And it said, Glenn's brother is a stand-up comedian based in Melbourne, but we doubt he's never faced audiences that have pointed machine guns at him. I thought, I've done gigs in bloody Port Hedland.
Mount Isa.
I've done Mount Isa. Get off it.